This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
We had Pastor Autry a few weeks ago, and she really was so powerful in talking about a partnership in marriage and ministry. And we're going to talk a little bit this afternoon about, you know, and it happens in most relationships where they say opposites attract. And so it's only when you're in the relationship that you realize, oh my goodness, why can you not be like me? And then you got to use the phrase, but don't opposites attract? So we're going to dig into that this afternoon. So if you're with us, if you're listening to us locally or from overseas, send us a message on Facebook. We'd love to hear from you on our WhatsApp line, 0817291657. We'll be back shortly. We're going for a song break, Louis Brits featuring Stella, We Will Serve the Lord. That was Louis Brits, We Will Serve the Lord. And yes, we are serving the Lord this afternoon. We are serving you this afternoon as well. And we are talking about partnership in marriage and ministry, and especially couples, you know, these that have joined together from opposite ends. And I know when I met my wife, she was an extrovert. She's still an extrovert, and I was this introvert, and I'm still an introvert, even though you're seeing me on radio and you're listening to me and you say, wow, I wish I can be so bold as him. But trust me, it takes a lot of courage to be here this afternoon, and every time you're presented with a microphone, and even, you know, us pulpit ministers, you know, we had to get over certain hurdles in our lives. But for some, it just comes naturally, you know, honey?
Mm-hmm. I think it's an innate ability that God has given each and every one of us. We have the ability to speak to people and the ability to take that boldness and that confidence that we have to bring a message to you. And I'm so glad to have you online here with us today, that you're going to be blessed by this message, be blessed by what we're sharing. And also, we like to hear from you, listeners out there. We like to hear your thoughts, you know, what you think of the topics and what it is that you probably want to learn about. We've got really exciting guests coming up in the next few weeks. We have a beautiful lineup. And like my husband said earlier, we didn't go live for the past 2 weeks, but we were on the show. You can listen to it on the podcast and on YouTube, you know, and also on the website. Go to the functionalities there. All the apps are there for you to listen live and to listen to previous podcasts. But the one thing about partnership in marriage and in ministry, you know, I know when two people get married, they don't just bring their love, they bring their backgrounds, they come with their different cultures, their personalities. You come with a whole bag of things. You know, there are different ways of communicating. And I know communication is key when it comes to marriage. And this is why we know that it's such an important part of relationship and marriage and ministry and friendships. It's everything, even with your children. But let's be honest, that mix can sometimes create a lot of friction in how we connect and talk to each other. I mean, yeah. I know there are people that come from different cultures, and that communication barrier is a problem, because yeah. If you can't speak their language, that you don't know what they're saying to you when they're angry, and they're saying it in a language that you don't understand, or with their culture, perhaps, you know.
And I think also there's a misconception that even whether you're Christian or non-Christian, people say you need to agree on everything. You don't necessarily have to agree on everything, and it takes time because as you say, the different backgrounds we become from, I have a perception about something, mm-hmm. or someone, whatever the case may be. We don't have to agree on everything, and that is okay. Mm-hmm. You know, we've taken a long time at times to agree on something, and sometimes it's taken years for me to eventually agree.
To disagree.
or for you to disagree, or for whatever the case mm-hmm. may be. We might just shove that up and say, you know, we don't need that now, or whatever the mm-hmm. case may be. So it's okay to disagree. That's what we're saying this afternoon. And there doesn't have to be animosity.
True.
you can work through these things as a couple at the end of the day. So, and also speaking about the opposites that attract, you know, there's, and in most instances I find it, and I think maybe I'm wrong in this, but I find many males are not really the extroverts out there. It's a lot of females are extra. The more that I see in relationships are the talkers, you know. So the one is always a talker, and the other in the relationship is the thinker and the processor. And I know that I'm a thinker and a processor. So my wife has to tell me something today, and then overnight I'm processing what she said, and I'll only give an answer probably the next day, or even a financial decision that I have to make. I have to first put the figure out there, and then I have to think it through until there's an agreement in my spirit, in my mind, in my soul, in every area, and then I'm comfortable with making that decision. My wife's not like that.
Yeah, and you know, that is where a lot of problems happen, because the wife might feel like he's not interested in what I'm saying, or he's not responding to me. But it's over time you learn how your partner operates. So you give him that space to go into the man cave, start working things up. But they can also, the negative side of it is very frustrating sometimes, because one can say you're stifling, or you're stopping, or you're hindering. You know, it's a bit delayed action. But it's not always when we want it. Mm. We've got to make sure that it's in God's perfect time, and that the couple comes into agreement. So this is the important part about being in relationship, is giving space and time to the other. You know, we're not all geared the same. We're not all groomed the same way. And we have been handpicked by God, designed for His purpose. Each one needs time to process things. So you cannot steamroll your ideas and solutions for the relationship. You have to plant seeds and watch them grow. I like that.
And can I just say that when we started dating, and when we, you know, really became that couple, I felt that you steamrolled a lot of you know, what you felt, and I felt it was too much for me, and you couldn't understand why I couldn't just make a decision. And sometimes from the person standing on the outside looking in will say, but that's an easy decision to make. No, I've got to process things. And there might be someone out there that's exactly the same as me. And so you need to give your partner that time to process at the end of the day. It avoids conflict. I know that when I've made the decision, I've thought it through. I've prayed it through. I've walked it through. I've spoken it through. Mm-hmm. Every aspect of my life, I've done that at the end of the day. So you can avoid those negative arguments at the end of the day. And then I know that also, you know, with wives, sometimes, not always, have the expectation that husbands must lead. We look at the scripture, and yes, the scripture says that we are the head of the home. And so yes, it's an important aspect in the relationship, but it really happens in most relationships, really. I've seen it. We see couples in our church as well. However, the key is to understand your role and respect He's, even though he does not always measure up to the standard. Mm-hmm. That's so important. You know, growth can take time. He might not lead now, but give him a few years, give him a few months, give him a few weeks, however long it takes, give him time to lead. In some cases, the wives can lead as the example. And I know many times when we started our relationship, you led as an example in word, in so many other aspects. And I gleaned from that, you know. You just dropped a few nuggets, and I picked it up, and I was able to. And you never forced it upon me, and that's one thing that we need to understand. We cannot force things on our partners.
Mm-hmm. You lead. You go as Holy Spirit leads, you know. Because I think when your husband or whatever doesn't lead like you expect them to, you have unrealistic expectations. It's a good thing in that space to understand the roles, you know. And our roles switched later on in life when we were married, but I was the one leading in prayer. I was the one leading in many things, because of that is the gift that God has given me. But I've also learned to take a step back and let him take the lead when he was ready to navigate through that, because we were different personalities. We still are two different personalities, different cultures, different backgrounds, come from different belief systems, but we have created our own in our home.
Yeah.
What is your belief system today? You know, when this matters for everyone, not just couples. It matters for children relationships, your relationship with your colleagues or with your peers or, you know, with your superiors, whatever. Yeah. But there are many wives, I believe, that enters marriage expecting the husbands to lead spiritually, emotionally, and even practically. But reality often looks different because some men struggle in that area. You know, they hesitate or they simply just don't know how to lead well. And yeah, this is where you allow God to take control. So yeah, there's a mismatch sometimes, and this can create disappointments. It can create resentment. It can create even distancing in the relationship, mm-hmm, you know, because of the non-communication or lack of communication, yeah, or the lack to lead, yeah, you know.
And also lead, don't lord. Mm. So we tend to lord over someone, the one spouse lords over them. Lord over them.
Big difference.
I said earlier, you know, don't force them to do things. There's get rid of control. God didn't put you in the relationship to control. That's right. A Jezebelic trait. Mm-hmm. So you wanna eliminate that out of your life at mm-hmm the end of the day. You have to count your spouse as significant despite their shortcomings. Mm. If you're enjoying this, please send us some messages. Deslyn's been sending a few messages. Good afternoon, parents of heart. And she says, so true, Apostle. The opposite one is always extrovert and the other introvert. Thank you for that.
Deslyn, you're supposed to be on holiday, but you're enjoying to listening to us. Enjoy it.
We'd love to hear from the rest of you, Cape Pulpit family. We're going over to song break. Michael W. Smith sings Revolution. Family from Radio Cape Pulpit, we are talking about opposites that attract in partnership and marriage and ministry. And we've had some discussions around this. Let us know mm-hmm how this is helping you.
Yeah, you know what? I just want to piggyback on what we were saying earlier on about wives leading and, you know, husbands waiting for that moment. And mm-hmm sometimes it's the other way around. Husbands lead because that is their personality. It's not always everyone's personality to lead. But wives, you know, the understanding of the God-given role means respecting your husband's position, even if he doesn't always measure up. You know, that doesn't mean silence or passivity. It means honoring him while continuing to grow yourself. And the thing is, for husbands, growth takes time. Some men need encouragement. They need prayer, like I said, and the patience. Women, be patient with them rather than criticism to rise into the leader that you were created to be. Husbands, wait on the Lord. Seek him in all of this. And for couples, sometimes the wife leads by example, as my husband said earlier, not out of rebellion, but as an act of grace. You know, I believe that living in a way that inspires, that does not undermine him or usurping authority. So the takeaway for you today in this particular segment here that I want to speak about is relationships thrive when you understand how to regulate your nervous system in the moment. It's not a matter of just getting angry and getting upset and lashing out. When you regulate your nervous system, it removes the veil of fight or flight. And now you can actually be present without ever overreacting. You know, just resolving conflicts is not always the answer. You can't just not resolve the conflict. The way you can resolve it is by taking a moment to regulate your nervous system. And I'll give you some keys at the end of the show on how to do this, all right? So marriage is a journey.
Yeah, it's definitely a journey. And you got to give each other time, like mm-hmm you said. Give each other some space to grow. When you don't give them that space to grow and you're constantly bombarding them with your desires and your needs, and we're going to get to that part, mm-hmm, you know, where we want everyone to be like us. And God created you as an individual in your relationship. And I've spoken about this before, you know, where you come as two separate individuals. And at the end of the day, you're still an individual in that relationship.
Right.
But you work together.
Yeah, because the thing is, the end goal is not who leads more.
Yeah.
Or it's about two partners, yeah, walking together.
Yeah.
Walking together to the same goal, you know, because we're walking together in love, in faith, and in purpose.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, marriage is a journey. It's not the destination.
Yeah. It's like when I say an individual, you're independent.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're together, you're interdependent.
Mm-hmm.
So you reach in to each other, but then you also reach into yourself. Allow your partner to reach into
them. Right.
Don't you always reach into them and mm-hmm. start putting your stuff in mm-hmm. them or her or vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
Give them that opportunity. So before we went to the song break earlier, we spoke about leading and lording over someone. Do not enforce any control in your relationship. Mm-hmm. Control leaves a bitter taste in a partner's mouth at
yeah.
the end of the day. You cannot control them with anything at the end of the day. You've got to lead and let God do the work
mm-hmm.
at the end of the day. There's a scripture I'd like to read in Philippians 2, verse 3 to 4. It says, "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interest of others."
I love that scripture.
Mm.
You know, it's making me think about when stress hijacks you. You know, it's so easy to spiral into a me first survival
yeah.
mode. You know, but this scripture in Philippians 2 that you just read now reminds us that we need to shift into humility
yeah.
also and into the presence of God and value your spouse over all of the anxious reactions that is so easily coming to, that so easily comes,
yeah.
you know.
We've had many arguments on this, what I'm about to say right now. It's basically your spouse doesn't have to care about everything you care about. You know, I grew to love the things that you love. And you grew to love the things that I love. But there's always going to be some form of difference and indifference at the mm-hmm. end of the day. So you need to get to a place where there's compromise,
mm-hmm.
good, healthy compromise at the end of the day. And so we often need that reminder to help us keep things in proper perspective. It's so important. And some couples, the one partner feels obligated to love the things that their spouse loves. And many times that is out of fear because they are fearing there's going to be a backlash if I don't go with her, if I don't do that thing, then there's that fear of backlash.
Mm.
You need to be open in your relationship.
That's right.
You need to be transparent in your relationship. I need to be honest enough to say, honey, I know you love these pottery glasses, but really, I am not into pottery. You know, you can bring them home. You can put them on the mantelpiece.
Yeah.
I'll watch them, I'll dust them off, but I'm not going to do a pottery class with you again. You know, have that
yeah.
open and honest and frank conversation yeah. with your partner. I mean, I used a silly example, but yours might be unique and yours might be a little bit more serious.
Yeah.
But it's really having that communication.
Yeah, I think a lot of couples also have this idea of, oh, no, he's got to like what I'm doing, you know,
yeah.
and he must come along with what I'm doing because I need him to help me. You know, it's not the case. I think when you say now there are spouses or men that feel obligated or forced into doing something, I don't believe that is from God. You know, you've got to have the freedom because we are each unique. We all have our own unique callings and things that we do. There are things that he likes to do. The one thing I don't do is I don't sit and watch rugby with him. He loves the rugby, but I like rugby, but I don't love it. You know, I will watch it when I'm in the mood for it, but I will find something else to do in that space. I don't have to do everything that he does, you know, and don't feel like it's a weight around your neck to do something
yeah.
because then you are doing it out of wrong motive.
And again, I should not get offended
mm.
with the fact that you didn't come and sit next to me and watch this and whatever. I need to understand at the end of the day that, you know, there's a cutoff point.
Mm.
You fulfill me in other areas.
Mm-hmm.
And really that compromise in the relationship is so important. So important because that's where there's miscommunication
mm-hmm.
and eventually no communication because there's this thing speaking to you in your ear, oh, he doesn't love me, oh, he doesn't take interest in what I do, he doesn't this and she doesn't, and it's all these doesn'ts
mm.
that whirls in your mind
yeah.
and causes this negativity in your heart at the end of the day.
So not every interest is shared, even though we should try to understand and support each other's interests, you know. But make a decision. Okay, I'll go with you there, you go with me there, and I'm going on my own and you're going on your own. And have that trust in your relationship to be able to do that, because God made each and every one of us unique.
Yeah.
All right? Celebrate each other's uniqueness. Remember that when you're feeling frustrated or underappreciated, remember that you are unique by design.
Yeah.
How to celebrate each other's uniqueness? That's another one. Speak it out loud. I always say, don't just think, wow, she's so gifted at that.
Yeah.
Say it.
And
you know?
I love what you're saying there about uniqueness, because sometimes we don't allow our spouse to be themselves, to be unique. And I think after the music break, we're going to get a little bit deeper into this conversation. And then we'd like to hear your views as well. So connect with us on WhatsApp 0817291657. We're going over to a song by Frank, Billy, and I. All we need is love.
Amen.
Family, we're talking about opposites attract this afternoon. We've gone through quite a bit of meat in this conversation topic, and we want to hear from you. God didn't make two of me. Didn't make two of you. There's only one of me. And we have this problem where I want another of me in my relationship.
Mm.
That's not going to work.
It's going to be very boring. Imagine we're both the same. It's going to be so boring. I mean, you know what? I'm an excited. I love joy. I love being happy. I'm a happy person, you know, and I love doing more of what makes me happy. And whatever you battling with and struggling with in your relationship, do more of what makes you happy. Celebrate each other's uniqueness. I ended off with that earlier at the previous segment. I want to say it again. Speak it out loud. Don't just think it. Like I said earlier, oh, wow, she's a gift. She's gifted at what she does. Say it. Tell people. Say, wow, I admire how creative you are. You know, say things like you make people feel safe when you talk. Words of affirmation build identity and remind others that they are seen. And this is part of who we are. God is looking for a conduit. He's looking for someone like you and I to speak life into someone else. We need to tell other people how awesome they are, not just think and say, oh, wow, that one really did a good thing. Tell them, you know, and also stop comparing. Start complimenting.
Yeah.
You know, this is my big take. I mean, I run the women's ministry. We run big campaigns and projects and seminars and conferences. You know, so I always say, let's collaborate. I don't want to compete with you, brothers and sisters out there. We want to connect, because God is in this interconnectedness. And this is what we are talking about as couples. We have to connect. So comparison fuels envy. And this is the critical part, because celebration fuels love. So we want to feel love and not envy. I want to be able to celebrate my husband instead of saying, I wish I had that. Rather shift. I mean, God is in this space and in this place and in this moment. He's speaking to us so clearly this week. He's been speaking to me about the shift. He said there is a move. And I believe that this move is for couples. This move is for individuals. This move is for leaders in ministry. This move is for parents and children. And most of all, couples, this move is for you. I believe that God is saying to us there, stop saying, I wish I can do this, or I wish I had that. Rather say, I'm grateful that I do.
Yeah.
Because gratitude brings a multitude of love and acceptance, and it just makes you feel good about who you are. So learn each other's love languages and strengths. We've spoken about this in our previous broadcast. You know, when you understand how someone is wired, listen, you can't rewire someone. An individual's got to rewire their own brain. You know, there's Dr. Caroline Leaf and so many people speaking about rewiring the brain, but God speaks about it. He said, submit to me, submit to God, you know, and surrender all your faculties to Him. Let God rewire you so you can rewire your relationship today. You can honor it without forcing sameness, you know. Some people need space. Some people need hugs. Some people need words. Some people just need to shine in the spotlight. Others are behind the scenes kind of people. All are valuable. No one better than the other. So create space for one another's gifts, my friends. Listeners out there today, learn each person. Let each person that you come across, learn how to make them shine. Don't just think about you want to shine and overshadow them. You know, some people just go into the shadows. They just go in obscurity because you want to take all the light or you want to take up all the oxygen. You know, there are people like that. It's just their personality. They want to be seen and heard and accepted. But everyone needs to heal in that space. So in marriage, when you want to lead, use strategy. You know, lead with nurturing. Yeah. Lead with love in teams. One's a planner, one's a visionary. He's the visionary, I'm the planner. But I don't always tell him, oh, honey, I've got all these things on my planner, because I know he'll get overwhelmed because he wants to first see it in the spirit, yeah, right? And then let it manifest. So I'm saying it again, it's not a competition. It's a completion of each other, especially for couples. And then also men, just to crown this part with this conversation, and if you don't mind, crown him the same way you can practice to crown her, crown me. You know, there are moments that we need to just honor. And I think this moment, and I did it, I think I do it all the time to honor. And I feel emotions in my heart. If there's someone out there you're feeling hurt because you weren't crowned, you weren't adorned, you weren't given the accolades that was due to you. And I'm sorry that you feel that way, and I feel your pain today. But this is working so well for you today because God sees you. He sees the strength. He sees your unique quality, and that you will learn how to admire the person that you're with, that you will learn to crown them, admire them. It breaks down jealousy and it builds mutual honor and respect. So I want to anchor this in the scripture. In Romans 12 verse 6, it says, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. And Psalm 139 verse 14 says that I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. So celebration, my friends, listeners out there, celebration is worship when you recognize God's handiwork in your spouse, in your partner.
That's so powerful. And I think there's, as you said, there's too little recognition and too many complaints. We say all the things, why not, why can't, he isn't, she isn't. Those are the words, and I know there's you have a list of words that are forbidden in our home. When our kids grew up, you said, these are forbidden words in the home. But we say it many times. And I'm thankful for the spouse that God gave me. I believe my wife's thankful for the spouse that God gave her. She's not perfect, and I'm not perfect. But what she is the gift. And God's working on the gift. And so we should allow God to complete what he needs to complete, because we're never going to be the finished product. We're always going to be a work in progress.
That's right.
And I appreciate the fact that God's still working on me. So don't try and reach for perfection in your first 6 months of marriage, first 6 years of marriage, or however long. It takes time. It's a journey. Mm-hmm. That you're on.
That's right.
With your relationship.
Yeah.
So you give each other that time.
Yeah. You know, there's some practical things that you can do when you feel like you're not being crowned, or you don't know how to crown him or whatever, you know. Just write 3 unique things down about your partner, about your spouse, or about your child, about your parent, whoever it is that you need to crown today, that you need to honor. You know, so many people are going around and say, oh, shift my crown or whatever. You don't need to shift each other's crowns, you know. You got to just put a crown on. Yeah. You know, we're not the ones to correct others. Let God do the correction. You know, I just feel it so strongly today in my spirit that too many people want to be the sword and just slap people with the word of God, you know. And God is saying, I will correct. I'm the one that will bring my people into that place of obedience. You know, we cannot slap obedience onto someone else, but write down these three unique things about your partner or whoever it is you need to honor. Share it with them face to face. If you are able to share it with them face to face, if they've passed on, you can speak it out or write it out to them and still honor them from the side of the grave. You know, God has given us the ability to speak these things. And the bonus part for everything is pray the blessing of uniqueness over them, that uniqueness can flow through them and accept them for who they are. You know, don't try to always change people. You know, I had a workshop one day, and it was about the potter and the clay. And I gave each lady a piece of clay. And I said, okay, can you mold this particular image? And everybody molded the image. And I said, right, now you give it to the person, swap it out with the person next to you. What everyone did was they got the person's pottery in their hand. You're speaking of a pottery now, just remembering the story. And they started rearranging the mold that they had in the hand of someone else's pottery that they molded. And that is just how life is. We try to fix someone else's design. They've created that design. We want to change it to what we think they should be or should look like. And let God be God. He is the potter. Let him design. Let him reshape. Let him discipline. You know, discipline comes from the Lord. Let him rebuke, you know, and let him guide and instruct us. So that's my take for you for today, friends and family and listeners out there. Don't try and remold someone else's design.
That's so powerful. Well, I hope that you listen to us this afternoon and to, you know, just to our experience as well, because no one's perfect. There's no perfect relationship out there. So we trust that we're going to hear some positive testimonies from each of you out there. We're going to go over to a song break. And when we come back, we're going to close out this afternoon session. And please, let us know how this is encouraged.
Stay tuned for the keys on how to regulate that nervous system.
That's true. We're going over to a song by Laura Story. You Came Running.
Right. We're back, friends and family, listeners out there. And I want to just give you those keys that I promised you to regulate your nervous system in the moment. When you want to react, rather choose to act and be quiet and do. I'm going to give there's seven of them, but I'm only going to give you three. And then the other three, I will post it in the link for this broadcast. So number one is breathe to reset. We taught you about box breathing. If you want to know all about that, you can go back to the previous one. But is that inhaling for 4 minutes, 4 seconds, then holding your breath for 7 and blowing it out through your mouth for 8, to the count of 8, right? So that really helps and regulates you there to reset. And then there's another one, ground your senses. So easy, touch something near you, your chair, your necklace, your Bible, your book, your phone, whatever is near you, just regulate your nervous system. And then, of course, there's self-talk. You know, whisper calming verses over yourself. Be still and know that I am God. Psalm 46:10. Speak truth over fear. I don't have to overact. I can respond in peace. You know, bring yourself into a place of peace. Reconnect, realign, recalibrate, and regulate so that you can calm your nervous system and quit having insomnia and all of those kind of things, all right? Or reacting with words that are hurtful. So the last thing I want to leave with you is invite Holy Spirit. So important. A quick prayer. Holy Spirit, help me respond, not react. Fill me with your peace and spiritual regulation. Partners with nervous system regulation. This is so important. This is how God designed us. Because, you know, when you do that, the veil lifts from you. You know, you regulate your nervous system. It's like pulling the veil of fight or flight. And suddenly, you're no longer hijacked by stress. You can see clearly, listen deeply, and show up fully present instead of spiraling or snapping at your partner. So imagine going through from survival mode to peace mode to presence mode. And that is the gift I want to leave with you today. The keys to regulate your nervous system. I pray that this broadcast has blessed you and that you will start activating and applying what we're sharing with you here today. And share this broadcast with friends, with loved ones, with your family. And make sure that you apply what the Spirit of the Lord is leading you. I'm going to do a reading for you today. Just before we close, I'm so excited about this. For those of you who are joining us on Friday morning, don't think it's time for you to wake up and smell the coffee. Don't you think it's time for you to walk in your groove? That is the title for Friday's business breakfast. How about doing both while praising God and promoting your business or whatever ministry you're in? Come and join us on the next K-Pulpit breakfast happening in 2 days' time on Friday, the 29th of August at Coffee Therapy in Willowbridge Center from 8 to 10:30 a.m. Join us as we mix coffee, food, networking, and worship, enjoying special guests NC Litson and Jackie DeLange. Listen, go to our Facebook page. Everything is in the links below. Join us as we do this. Send your email and info to info@kpulpit.co.za. Tickets are only $250. So be sure to book and register. The Cape Pulpit Breakfast, Friday, 29 August, at Coffee Therapy in Willowbridge from 8 to 10:30 a.m. We look forward to seeing you there. Bye now.
Bye now, everybody. Thank you for joining us this afternoon. And please share this broadcast with friends and family. Share on your Facebook. They need to hear about these important topics. Amen. So your marriage can be saved. We look forward to meeting with you next week again, same time, Wednesday between 12 and 1. We signing out. Calvin saying bye.
Have a wonderful day. Bless you.
Bye-bye now.
Bye.
This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.